This Advent, we're thinking about God's gifts to us, even more than the gift of His Son. We want to unwrap some of the many other gifts that we can receive because of Christ. Today we look at a gift we all need. Peace. Our text is a single verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In the Bible, peace is a rather subtle concept. It's both a feeling and a condition because it has to do with relationships. It's the feeling of security and harmony you get when a relationship is secure and non-threatening. Now, the relationship involved could be with any other person or creature, with God or another group of people or even another nation. Jesus spoke these words about peace in the upper room the night before the crucifixion. Now, only he and Judas knew what was coming. But even so, all the disciples were tense. It was clear that things were coming to a head. The city was packed with pilgrims, many of whom wanted to make Jesus king. The Romans were there in force. The Jewish leaders were desperate to keep their positions of power. Clearly, there was no win-win situation for everyone. There was going to be conflict, maybe even bloodshed. The disciples stood at the threshold of transition, a crisis in history after which nothing would be the same, a change which would offer something, but would cost something too. Change is always like that, both exciting and scary. Jesus even said that there was going to be a change in how he related to them. He spoke of leaving them, going where they could not follow. He spoke of sending God's Spirit to be their helper. Now, this is not a change they wanted. Would you change the presence of Jesus that you could see with your eyes, hear his voice, his passion, his jokes, for a spirit you could not see or hear? Even when changes are theoretically good, they're not always welcome. I wonder how many of us are at the threshold of some transition ourselves. Perhaps a crisis, certainly a change, one that offers something, but will cost something too. Maybe a change you don't even want. One requiring that you relate to God through His Spirit when you want something more concrete. If so, maybe you understand the anxiety in that room. Not panic, not yet, just a queasiness. A fear that smiles cannot quite hide as they shared a Passover meal. It was then that Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Mostly this verse is a simple statement that Jesus would give us peace, but he does say one thing that sketches in a little bit of what that means. "My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." The peace Jesus would give us is different than the peace the world gives. Peace is a sense of security that stems from a relationship. Well, the world offers peace also. The world has some very definite ideas about how to find security in relationships. I can think of three right off the bat. For one thing, the world offers peace through domination, making a relationship non-threatening by bullying it. Probably every war that has been initiated has been in the interests of peace. The rationale for starting a war is simple. We should rule. What's good for us is good for the world. And once we rule, we'll bring order and peace to the world. Every empire, from Rome to China, from the very first kings to the Third Reich, has thought this way. Peace through domination has justified every enslavement, every concentration camp. Within a single nation, peace through domination is the motive of most political parties. The country can only find peace if we win. No compromise. We must win. They must lose. That's all that matters. Everything from Watergate to Robert's Rules are used in the effort to win. Far too many people experience this form of peace in the home, where peace is achieved by one spouse bullying another. Whether it's a home where the man is the king of his castle, or one where there ain't nobody happy if mom ain't happy, life is an unbearable conflict unless one person dominates. Then there's peace. The peace of a prison camp, but that's a kind of peace. Another way that the world offers peace is the flip side of domination. It's disengagement, withdrawal. I mean, there can't be a battle if one side doesn't show up for a fight. While it's shameful to initiate a battle only for the purpose of dominating, it is equally shameful to appease a bully. In 1938, British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain sold out the people of Czechoslovakia to avoid war with Hitler. He got Hitler to sign a document stating his intent to never go to war with Britain again. Now, Hitler privately told his aides the document meant nothing whatsoever. But Chamberlain will always be remembered for waving that piece of paper and claiming that he had achieved peace in our time. That phrase has become a byword for irresponsibility. We call that sort of thing appeasement. It doesn't work. It never stops a bully. But there are all kinds of disengagement besides appeasement. You can disengage from society's ills. Just turn your back on simple human needs other people have, like housing and healthcare and food and jobs and dignity. You can disengage with people you find hard to deal with at work, in the community, and in the church, or right under your own roof. You can disengage because your feelings are hurt or you just get tired of fighting. And that, the world promises, will bring peace in our time. Yeah, peace without dignity or righteousness. I think there's yet a third way the world offers peace, and that's pretense. When domination and disengagement don't work or they're inappropriate, we can always pretend. And that's what people generally do with God. They pretend. Religions which have no historical basis, but which are only cultural mythologies, are pretense. Philosophies which explain nothing, but are only designed to make you feel good, are pretense. Just listen to hurting friends when they face personal trials. Oh, everything will work out all right. Now, a Christian, as we shall see in a moment, has reason to believe a version of that statement. But why would someone else believe that? They're just pretending. Like the feel-good philosophy of the old Disney movies. Just wish upon a star. It's especially sad to see our friends struggling to face death. So many pretend that death is normal, willing to accept the notion that life is ultimately meaningless rather than face a God they're afraid of. The only positive thing they can say about death is that, oh, the loved one will live on in their memories. But that is slight comfort indeed. Who even remembers his own great-grandparents? Hear me well. I do not mock my friends. I pity them. Now, I realize they may pity me too, thinking my faith is foolish. But I pity them, forced to rely on pretending for a peace as flimsy as tissue paper. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Jesus does not offer a peace based on pretending, or disengagement, or domination. Jesus spoke these words just hours before voluntarily submitting to Jewish betrayal and Gentile condemnation. Jesus bore the injustice, the hatred, the fear, the violence. Jesus bore the sin of all the world, of Jew and Gentile, on the cross. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's from Ephesians 2. Jesus was all humanity, represented in one man, to whom God Almighty attributed every kind of sin ever committed. God condemned humanity in Jesus, so that any individual willing to identify with him might have his or her personal condemnation transferred to Jesus. All that is required is simple faith. Faith that Jesus made peace in our own little war with God, a war in which we blame him for the results of our sin. Faith confesses that the blame is ours, and the grace of forgiveness is his. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's from Romans 5. This is a peace objectively obtained, historically achieved. This is no pretense. It is as real as a Roman hanging. This is no domination. Judgment is coming, but God offers a gracious pardon beforehand. This is no disengagement. God did not disengage from our desperation. And to be saved, we do not disengage either, but receive Jesus as the Lord of our lives and the Savior of body and soul. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Here's the message for us, especially those of us facing transitions and change. Do not be afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled. Let your inner peace rest on the objective peace Jesus earned on the cross. In Christ, God made you his child and his heir. Christ became your brother, the Holy Spirit, your traveling companion. That is what actually has happened. But you must decide to let God be your friend, meaning you must decide to experience and to enjoy his friendship. Your relationship with him is secure eternally. Based on that fact, you can now work out all the kinks in that relationship, straighten out the sin that has dishonored him and hurt you. Beyond that, you can also start to work out the kinks between you and other members of Christ's household, the other believers in your life. Think how much of the peace you have sought with them has been the kind given by the world. But secure in the knowledge that you will live forever with these people, in a place where the truth has set you free, why not begin now? Challenge the world's peace, built on domination, or disengagement, or pretense. Use the peace Christ gives, which has reconciled you both to God, to find a peace that flows out of genuine confession, forgiveness, righteousness, and grace. Did you know we have a ministry in our church devoted to doing just that? It's called the Peacemaking Ministry. People in it are trained to help us apply the peace Christ gives to our relationships, starting with our Christian friends and family, and also extending out from there as far as we dare. If you need some coaching in this matter of bringing Christ's peace to our relationship in your life, please let the peacemakers help. And think about whether this is a ministry you might really enjoy yourself. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Heavenly Father, please bless each one of us in our quest for peace. Transitions in particular scare us. Whether new commitments or new losses, whether we're facing challenges which seem overwhelming, or find ourselves even facing our own mortality. Our peace is often shaken, and may be shaky now. We confess that we are shaken when we rely on the world's peace, for it is based on nothing. Whether we try to bluster our way through, or hide our head in the sand, or seek inspiration from castles in the clouds, it is no peace at all. But your Son established a peace with you before we even appreciated our need of it. He's done it all. We believe that. Now help us experience it. Help us build on the knowledge that we are at peace with you. Help us to imitate it and transplant it into our other relationships. Give us help to do so as we need it, and use us to help others as they need it. We ask you in Jesus' name. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.